As we look at the book of 2 Samuel and chapter 13, I'd ask you to turn there. Remember, we talked about chapter 11 being a chapter of bankruptcy. I think chapter 13 is also a chapter of bankruptcy. And we'll see that once again, a spiritual bankrupt situation. But whenever we work through the scriptures together, I think maybe some of you are surprised. I know I am sometimes at what shows up. It's not as much Mayberry as it is the Yellowstone Ranch. It's not as much Thelma Lou as it is Beth Dutton. Or Floyd the Barber doesn't show up as often as Tony Soprano. And so when the temptation comes that we would like to step away from all of the reality of life, and we won't all do that. That's why we take retreats. That's why we do vacations. But there is a beauty to the scriptures and how honest and direct God is with us in his word. He shines a light on us. The temptation may be that we watch it as if we were watching Jerry Springer. And we would go, well, at least I ain't that bad, all right? But that you would understand the human heart, that you would not be caught off guard by the fact that, no, left to the right circumstances, I could do this stuff. I don't want that to be the case, but we have a man here called a man after God's own heart, and yet he's falling into these things. He's stepping into these things. And you know that I have my time in the morning with these old veterans at McDonald's, and I've talked to guys that have done through the campaigns in Korea and in Vietnam, and to hear their stories and to have an understanding of what goes on with the weaponry and the artillery and the ammunition, and to know and find out about different bullets and different mines and the damage that goes on. A mortar shell, one of the gentlemen has still as in his body. He's got metal because something exploded, a mortar exploded. And so the ramifications of that past event he carries with him. This is what happens with sin. It's like a hollow point bullet. It goes in and then comes out huge. And this is the ramifications of decisions made, of choices. And as we read this, we'll start to see, I think, David's heart is one of, boy, if I could get back that time on the roof, if I could stop myself and make a better decision, what a difference that would make in my life. And so the word of God is given to us as warning. I mean, take a look at this in Romans chapter 15. So this is New Testament. This is God to us. He says this, for whatever was written in former days, 2 Samuel, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Positive or negative, it's going to shine a light on us. It's going to shine a light on situations so that when the hard time comes, I go, oh, I remember something about this kind of situation, and I made the decision now to not go there, so that I wouldn't have the regrets later. Remember last week when we were Mother's Day, we were talking through 2 Timothy and how the words of Paul to this young pastor, and he was saying in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, 2 Samuel, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so that's why he's telling us these things. And so I'm so blessed to be a part of this church family who doesn't say, oh, are we still doing Old Testament? but that you come here hungry to hear the word of God and the whole counsel of God. So I want to pray and then get into our time together. Father, thank you for your gracious sharing, admonishing, challenging, convicting word of God. And so, Father, we come today to this chapter of spiritual bankruptcy again. And Father, that as we look into it, that we would hear from you, that maybe even this morning, you are crying out to somebody, you are saying to somebody, stop, so that there would not be regrets. We've got enough of them. And that, Lord, we would head your direction. So thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Chapter 13 through 20 of the book of 2 Samuel is basically one really long story. Now, we'll do it chapter by chapter as we pick it up again in the weeks in the fall. But this is the ramifications of sin. This is what happens, and God gives it to us because he wants us to abstain, or he wants us to avoid the pain that is tied to that. So if you want to take notes, in the back of your bulletin is a section there where you can fill in some blanks and write in some other items as it comes to mind, as the Lord brings that to you. I want you to hear from him today. I've been asking different people to pray specifically about this chapter because obviously I want every week to have what God wants done and said in the service, but there are sometimes some chapters that as I'm working through, I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom on what to say and what not to say in the area. If there's young ones in the room, I don't ever want to be crass or gross, but I also want to be fair or honest with the text here. And so please, if you brought a Bible and there's one in the pew rack in front of you, I really want you to see the words of God before you. Don't just say, oh, honey, you read it for me. Say, I'm going to do it too, all right? So point number one, sin starts with desire. Sin starts with desire. I want you to look at verse 1 of chapter 13. Now, Absalom, David's son, had a beautiful sister whose name was Tamar. It's been rightly said that experience is the best teacher if you can afford the tuition. It's expensive to learn the hard way. And I'd rather learn from accounts like this. I remember that as I was growing up, the whole idea of dating, the whole idea of wanting to be wise in relationships. I mean, I was a typical guy, but I remember even listening to a cassette tape by Josh McDowell called Maximum Dating. I remember that there was an interest on my heart, a desire to do it well. My parents had gone through, at the time, they were going through a very difficult time in their marriage, ultimately ended in divorce. And I thought, if I'm going to head down this road, I want to be wise. And I know that the Lord gives wisdom. And so I was seeking it in every place I could. And so I'd rather learn from accounts like the one that's before us today before paying that high price of learning on my own. And as the years have gone by, there are so many things that I'm grateful I avoided. Trust me, I ran into some stupid situations. Okay, I did buy a ticket to Stupid Land on a regular basis, I want you to know. But he kept me from other things that I look back and I'm just grateful to him. And so I would think that every person in this room, at least over 40, would be saying a hearty amen to this. Amen. That we're heading down the right road as we look in the Word of God here. Because you don't want your kid or your grandkid to experience the pain that is tied to bad decision making. So we got this guy, Absalom. He's David's son. He has a beautiful sister, and her name is Tamar. And after a time, Amnon, David's son, loved her. Now, if I'm reading the sentence right, Absalom is David's son, and then I read a little farther, and Amnon is David's son. So we've got brothers. Amnon is David's oldest son, but he's a half-brother, got the same daddy, David, as Absalom and Tamar. And we found out that Tamar is a knockout. She's beautiful. And another thing you and I need to know is Absalom and Tamar are the son and daughter, not just of David, but a princess of Geshur, okay? Amnon has a different mom, but they're all part of this family. And she's got, talking about Tamar, she's got this Geshurite blood. Sounds like she has got that Syrian blood in her. Sounds like she's got this exotic mix to her. And she's pretty. She's really pretty. And we come to this second verse, and the drama is starting to unfold. And Amnon was so tormented that he made himself ill because of his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and it seemed impossible to Amnon to do anything to her. Tormented. He cannot have what he wants. He's lovesick, or more accurately, lustsick. He's got Saturday night fever all the time, not just Saturday night. And the title of this message today is a Bee Gees song sung in that movie, "If I Can't Have You." Oh, if I just can't have you. I'd sing it like them, but it's too high-pitched, all right? And he can't act on this because in these days, all the king's sons would live on one side of the palace and all the daughters would live on the opposite side. But also, Leviticus and Numbers forbid this union. The law of God binds him from her. And so he's making himself ill. He's tormented. He's sick. I think he's having a tantrum. As much of an adult, I know you are shocked by an adult man having a tantrum. I know that's shocking, all right? But this is what's going on here. And I want you to look at that last sentence in verse 2. To do anything to her. Not with her. He's not thinking about going out for coffee or a nice walk in the park. This is selfishness. This is the carnal heart of a young man. Let's keep going. Verse 3. Oh, this is rich. But Amnon had a friend. Please take that in. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. So he's got a cousin. I don't know if you've ever had the interesting cousin that every time you were with them, you got into trouble. All right. And I'm sitting a bunch. Oh, yeah, I know that guy. All right. And you might be sitting here. I don't know that guy. You're that guy. No. And look at the next part. And Jonadab was a very crafty man. He's subtle. He's tricky. I remember seeing these guys. I see them in a lot of places. I remember at camp. You'd get there at camp, Bible camp, Manitoumi, and everybody would be getting together. And I'm telling you, it did not take long for the evil people to get together. You're like, you're calling them evil. I'm just being honest, all right? Because they were the ones that by Tuesday are already in trouble. But it takes them minutes. They could look at each other and go, you're evil? I'm evil too. Let's do some evil stuff this week, all right? Jonadab. He's not a friend. Be careful who you hang with. We care about everybody. We love everybody. We want to, but they don't have to be your closest friend. But I have so much fun with them. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. Jonadab. He needs a friend more like Joseph. But he's got another Joe right now. And look what he does. Because he's aware of his, this guy's tricky, he's subtle, he's aware. He's crafty. Verse 4, and he said to him, O son of the king, not just O cousin, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? So he's aware. He's saying, son of the king. And I think even in saying that, he's planting the seed that says, you can do whatever you want. He might even have a vibe of what's going on with Amnon. But he asks him. Let's keep going. Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And we'll continue to say this. I'm going to challenge you on this. Amnon is not in love. He is in lust. And there's a big difference. Please listen to me, young people especially, and even those of you that might be flirting with disaster. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not seek its own. Lust, however, is impatient. Lust wants its own way immediately. Can you wait for something or someone? Can you? I want it now. Verse 5. And our crafty buddy here, our crafty friend, he's got a plan already. Jonadab said to him, well, lie down on your bed. Pretend to be ill. And when your father comes to see you, say to him, let my sister Tamar come and give me bread to eat and prepare the food in my sight that I may see it and eat it from her hand. Amnon, just pretend you're sick. So Jonadab says to him, then ask your dad to send Tamar to bring you some chicken soup. Go through your dad. He's not going to deny you. He likes his boy. And Amnon is the next one in line to be king. He's not going to deny you. You're going to get this. You always get what you want. You're the son of the king. You're entitled. Verse 6. So, by the way, Jonadab then hits the road. You don't hear any more about him. You'll hear more at the end of the chapter, but he's that kind of friend that plants a seed and then moves. There's people like this. They'll start something and then they'll leave. You get in trouble, they don't. I had friends like this. And who got in trouble? And where was that person? And they would deny they know you. They're not the friend that you think they are. Be wise with your friends. So Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister Tamar come and make a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand. Then David sent, I guess he's thinking, this is a good thing I want to do. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, where he was lying down, and she took some dough and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and baked the cakes. And she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. You see the picture here? What do you, as we're watching this scene play out, what are you seeing? You're seeing a deceitful son, a dad who's trying to be a good dad, doesn't know all that's going on. I would hope he'd be more observant, but he's ruling a country and he's got a bunch of kids with a bunch of different women. He hears a request, thinks this is okay, I'll do this. And he sends in his daughter, and she is an obedient daughter. She's doing the right thing. She's listening to her dad. There's a beauty to the innocence here. And so we got this guy faking illness, watching as she's going to serve him. What a humble thing. She's got a servant's heart. She's a princess, and she's still working. And we know, we kind of know what's going on. But she's innocently just listening to her daddy. And so she took the pan and emptied it out before him, but he refused to eat. Man, I worked on this. And Amnon said, "Send out everyone from me." So everyone went out from him. So this plan is happening. This girl, and by the way, I want you to notice, when Jonadab gave him these ideas, he knew his heart. He didn't say to him, "Hey, why don't you do this and then you can mess with her." He just planted enough of the seed and got the ball rolling. And then he's out of there. So the plan is going on. So everyone went out. This guy is a sexual predator. Verse 10. Then Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the food into the chamber that I may eat from your hand." And so she's being a sweet sister. And Tamar took the cakes she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. She's innocently serving her brother. Point two, sin moves to defilement. Sin moves to defilement. Verse 11. But when she brought them near him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." She answered him, "No, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this outrageous thing. As for me, where can I carry my shame? And as for you, you would be as one of the outrageous fools in Israel." Lie with me, sister. He uses a term of endearment. And I know that in the book of Song of Solomon, we will see that beautiful poem. And he uses the term sister, but it's not used in this way. He knows this girl is related to him. But he's not caring for her as he should a sister. "Don't do this," she pleads. And the Hebrew word "no" means no. That's what it means, guys. And I challenge, even in this generation, even in this culture, that's what it means, girls. And she's buying time. Let's not be like the Canaanites. Let's not do what other peoples do. We're a called out covenant people of God. We don't act this way. And she's trying to go with logic. If you don't. Verse 13 continues. "Now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you." She's buying time. The king isn't going to say, "Yeah, it's okay." He's not going to say that. But she's trying everything at this point. She's appealing to his virtue, and he's got none. She's appealing to his logic, but he doesn't listen. He ignores these warnings. Verse 14, but he would not listen to her. This is lust. He would not listen to her. And being stronger than she, he violated her and lay with her. He ignores the warnings given to him. And that's what lust does. It doesn't listen to warnings. It blocks out what's being said by anyone. I want you to notice something, how this turns on a dime. Look at verse 15. He wanted her so bad. He loved her so much. Verse 15. Then Amnon hated her with very great hatred, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Get up, go." You know, rapists often kill their victims, actually, because when they're done, they've done what they did. They hate themselves. And looking into that person's eyes is a reminder. And so, not knowing what to do with that hate, they transfer their hatred and frustration and guilt to the victim. And once Amnon has Tamar, he hates her. And it's a story that we hear over and over and over again. Ladies, you are worthy of respect. You don't owe him anything. Oh, he paid for a big date, and I feel good. And guys will play this tune like you owe him something. Until that ring, and I mean the wedding ring, is on your finger, you don't owe him. And God has so many warnings against fornication, premarital sex. This is violation. This is rape. But he gives warning after warning after warning. And I could dwell on this and I could keep going, but I think you're getting the message here. Well, it isn't as bad as this. This is really bad. We love each other. Careful. Careful. Let's keep going. Verse 16. But she said to him, "No, my brother, for this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her. He called the young man who served him. Boy, this guy is a piece of work. He called the young man who served him, said, "Put this woman out of my presence." And I want you to hear this. In the Hebrew, the word woman isn't there. That's been added by the translators. It's as if he's saying, "Put this out of my presence." She now has become less than a person to him. "Put this out of my presence and bolt the door after her." Girls, are you listening to this story? If all I'm doing today is giving a warning so that down the road I'm protecting you for something, amen. And I'm telling you something. I want to tell you ladies something. This, girls, you got a vibe about stuff sometimes. And even if you're wrong about the vibe, quit worrying about offending some people. If you need to step away, you step away. Because we raise up our daughters to be nice. Good, I think that's important, respectful. But I'm asking you to be wise and to not be paranoid, but to go with your vibe sometimes. Dear sister, this is a reality. Once Amnon gets what he wants, he kicks Tamar out and locks the door behind her, leaving her to go her way crying. Let's keep going. Verse 18. Now she was wearing a long robe with sleeves, for thus were the virgin daughters of the king dressed. So his servant put her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head and tore the long robe that she wore, and she laid her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she wept. Doesn't this break your heart? How could he do this to me? I trust her. I went there thinking I'm serving my brother, who I thought loved me, I thought cared about me as a sister. How could he do this to me? She's wondering. He claimed he had this deep love for me. But the Holy Spirit needs to give you and I wisdom, understanding that what happens when lust is the main ingredient, when lust dominates a relationship, it ends up in sorrow. And ultimately, we will see as the chapter keeps unfolding in death. Because point number three, sin leads to death. Sin leads to death. Look at this next verse. This stuff is so telling. We come to verse 20. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you?" What does that tell you? Amnon's got a reputation. He sees his sister and he goes, right away, Absalom goes, has Amnon your brother been with you? Because Amnon probably worked it in the kingdom. I don't know if you guys remember, as Saddam Hussein was in leadership in Iraq, he had many children, many sons. These sons would go into college campuses, and the girls would learn, these beautiful girls would be walking the campus sidewalks, and they would learn when Saddam's sons were working the campuses, don't look them in the eye. Do not look them in the eye. Because if they go, "I want her," they would take a girl and they'd use her. And then somehow this girl would disappear. Because the king's son was getting what he wanted. And this is what we have here with Amnon. We don't have kings in America. We've got rock stars and Hollywood actors and actresses and sometimes political power people. But we live in a day where we are so blessed. We have so many opportunities that blessing sometimes can blind us to the reality of what God's called us to. And so the king's son got away with it. But did he? Let's go back, verse 20. And her brother Absalom said to her, "Has Amnon your brother been with you? Now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this to heart." So Tamar lived a desolate woman. The word desolate there could also be devastated. A desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. And so Absalom sees what happened. "Tamar, just be quiet. I'll take care of this." Oh, let's look a little further here. Verse 21. When King David heard all of these things, he was very angry. And rightly so. But that's where the verse ends. He's angry. His eldest son raped his daughter. He's understandably upset. Yet, although David is upset, he does nothing. Why? Well, let's think back to a couple chapters. A couple chapters to another chapter about bankruptcy. I'm mad. I know I've repented. I know. But man, if I say something to him, if I do something about it, he can throw into my face what I've done. You see, this is the hollow point. It goes in, comes out. Now, I think he has every right to speak because he has repented. He'd have every right to say something because he would go, I know the pain of this. I know what happens as a result. And so I can speak into that. And my encouragement to you is, if you've done something, and it could be a really big thing, but you have acknowledged it and you've owned it and you're willing to receive even more concerning it. But when you need to confront something, you confront it not as a holier than thou, but this is bad. But I think he shuts his mouth because it's like, I can't talk. And that's the deceitfulness of sin. That's why he's saying, don't go down this road, so that when you can speak, you have moral authority to speak. Let's keep going. Verse 22. But Absalom spoke to Amnon neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. He's giving him the silent treatment. He's grudging him. He's hating him over time. And hatred over time, you know what it becomes? It becomes bitterness. So we have a brother hating another brother, a desolate sister living with the brother. But look what happens. Verse 23. After 2 full years. So if I'm getting this right, after 2 full years, each and every night as Absalom heads home to his place where he's staying, his sister lives with him, and he walks in and he sees this devastated sister, which is a reminder of what his half-brother Amnon has done. But he ain't talking to his brother, and they aren't meeting out justice to him. Because there is laws about what should be done, but it isn't being taken care of. But the grudge is growing, and he might just walk by Amnon. He might just look at him, give him a nod, but he's not saying anything to him because he's grudging. He's holding on to it. He's becoming more and more bitter. Because he sees that girl every night. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for being mad. But he needs to deal with it the right way. Because vengeance is God's. He will repay. But there were laws. There were things. There were steps that could be taken. Let's keep going. Verse 23. After 2 full years, Absalom had sheep shearers at Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons. I do like the fact that the king, King David, expects his sons to work. I mean, we say with Tamar, she had a servant's heart, so she was willing to make food for her sick brother. So she's got a servant's heart. She's a worker. Absalom, his dad was a shepherd. If you remember little King David, I mean, only a boy named David. He was the one that was a shepherd back in the day. And so he's working, and after 2 full years, they're having this sheep shearing time that's going to be going on. And Absalom is starting to, he's probably been planning this kind of stuff for a long time. Verse 24, and Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold, your servant has sheep shearers. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant." So he's saying, I've got a job to do. I mean, you want me to work, Dad, and this is a key time. And he asks David, his dad, if he'd want to go, and his brothers would be going. But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not all go, lest we be burdensome to you." And look at this. He pressed him. And the word there, pressed, means he just pushed and pushed. He pressed him, but he would not go, but gave him his blessing. And Absalom has played this out in his brain, how he wants to do this. He's got this invitation to this party, because it's a festive time, the sheep shearing time. They're doing work, but it's a wrap-up of what has gone on for the year. Look at verse 26. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And you would think, Dad, are you observing anything? Are you aware of what's going on in your kid's life? I know he's the king, but our first responsibility is our home. We need to be aware. We can't get everything, but to have an understanding of what's up with our kids. And by the way, I'm still finding out stories of things that went on when my kids were younger, just so you know, in case you're going, "Boy, you're acting like you're all wise, I'm telling you." All right? These guys are smooth. But anyways, let's keep going. All right? "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" So that's not a bad question. But Absalom, same word, pressed him until he let Amnon and all the kings go with him. King's sons go with him. Then Absalom commanded his servants, "Mark when Amnon's heart is merry with wine." So he wants Amnon to be so unaware. He's laughing, he's partying, he's probably watching him while he's getting drunk. and he's laughing about things, probably talking about girls that he's messed with. And all he can see is, that's the guy who did that thing to my sister. And when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not fear. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant. So the servants of Amnon did to Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. And this is the story of lust. He says, then all the king's son arose, and each mounted his mule and fled. Story of lust, it ends in death, and we have a dead man, a broken-hearted dad, a devastated sister, and it's all because of lust. I'm going to give a warning to girls. If you allow lust to be a part of a relationship, death is going to follow. Your reputation will be hurt. Your joy will wither. Please stop. Boys, be men. Control yourselves. Grow up. Stop heading down a road that is hurtful. Start being a brother. Start being a servant. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. So flee youthful passions. So if you're like, I want to run after something, here's what you run after. Pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You want to chase something? Chase righteousness. Verse 30. So all the sons fled. While they were on their way, news came to David. Absalom has struck down all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Now, is that true? No. Isn't it interesting how rumors spread? I think this was put in the Bible for us to read and go, huh, sometimes there's fake news out there. All right? Sometimes there's things being said that aren't true. But it might smack of being true, because you got to wonder, is Absalom not just thinking about how to avenge my sister, but also, I don't know if you saw the lineup, I remember when I was watching or seeing the coronation of Charles, I was looking at who is the line of succession. It's just interesting, just following. Oh, you go to William and then his kids, and then you go over to Harry and you go down the line. There's a whole line of it. It's like in America, if the president takes out, who goes next? There's a whole, all the way up to the designated survivor, you know. So we got here, well, maybe he did kill all of them because he wants to be king. They could see that rumor could take a hold of people, because you go, well, maybe that's what he's been planning. And so David hears this. Then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants were standing by tore their garments. Oh, but look who shows up again. Look who shows up. The crafty one, the tricky one, the guy who started this ball rolling and then's out. But now he's back with more information, okay? But Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, said, let not my lord suppose that they have killed all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead. For by the command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day he violated his sister Tamar. Wait a second. You knew? Joe, you knew about this and you didn't say anything? This isn't a friend. And there may be, even in your life right now, you may know some stuff. You have some information. You could be wrong, but you check it out. And out of love, you go, oh, I just didn't want to say, I didn't want to get involved. Jonadab, you were involved. I don't know if you've met these guys before. But this is the reality. There's so much packed in this chapter about friendship and thought life and then pursuing things that you ought not. Relationships, bitterness, vengeance. This is a whole season of the Game of Thrones, all right? This is sick. But this is us. It's another show, all right? Verse 33. Now therefore, let not my lord the king so take it to heart as to suppose that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon alone is dead. Oh, thanks, Jonadab. And not everybody's dead. So this almost smacks of this rumor being spread to make it like, oh, okay, that's all. But it's bad. So Jonadab, our crafty guy, sets the record straight. Look at verse 34. But Absalom fled, and the young man who kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, behold, the king's sons have come, as your servant said. So it has come about, and as soon as he had finished speaking, behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very bitterly. Doesn't your heart break for David? Even though he's made bad decisions, we've all made bad decisions, and we wouldn't want this for anybody. But this is the hollow point. This is the result. This is the mortar that explodes, and this is the metal that he's walking around with. Because God said to him, the baby's going to die, but you shall live, but the sword will not depart from your house. Because we can choose our sin, we just can't choose the consequences of our sin. Verse 37, but Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. That's his homeland. That's his mom's dad's house. And David mourned for his son day after day. I would think he's mourning for Amnon. We'll see in a future chapter, he's going to mourn for Absalom. And the spirit of the king longed to go out to Absalom because he was comforted about Amnon. So he had grieved Amnon. And now as time goes by, his heart goes out to Absalom because God had taken care of that grief. Because he was comforted about Amnon, since he was dead. And so we see 5 years have gone by. 2 years since the rape of Tamar, and then 3 years since Absalom hit the road. 5 years have gone by. Time moves quickly, but it moves slowly. What's this story? I mean, what's this about? I mean, God, remember Romans, he tells us for our good. I'm hoping that this, if you're right now playing with disaster, you're flirting with disaster, and I don't know what that looks like for you, that you would go, I'm going to stop. I'm going to learn from this guy. Dad, maybe you need to be a little more aware of what's going on. Not paranoid, but aware. Mom, the same thing. Young person, take to heart. I'm asking the Spirit of God to, however he wants to apply this to your life, he does. Because you're sitting here with whatever is on your heart. You might be having a great time, but there was also 2 Samuel 8 where David was having a great time. And then we got to 2 Samuel 11. And so he's saying, please, I love you enough to tell you the truth. So, I'm telling you, back in chapter 7, he was promised a great family, a great house. How's this playing out? This is what he's working with? But I want you to look around the room. No, don't look around. Look in your own heart. This is what he's working with? But he's amazing. He's so gracious, so loving. And he wants us to look at this and go, because if we didn't have some of these chapters, we would go, David's the man. But he wants us to know, oh, no, there's a son of David that's coming. And it's not Amnon and it's not Absalom. It's not even Solomon. There's a son of David coming that is the answer. And I want you to follow him. Because he won't let you down. And he took your place on the cross so that you might have an eternal home in heaven and forgiveness and a life that you were like, thank you, Father. And thank you that you're still working on me. And you give me these words to keep me from stupid, stupid stuff. Please hear me. And I may never know. Here's the beauty of it. We may never know until glory what you did with this. Love you and want the best for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace. Ask you, Father, in a time of a rough chapter, that, Lord, you take whatever I messed up and allow that to be forgotten. But what you want remembered, your eternal word, and that would by your Spirit be used to preserve and protect and defend. And we thank you for that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.